in more ways than one, was indeed the beginning. The late afternoon shadows were falling softly as Walter carried Gracie across the threshold into the adventure of their new life together. The cottage was Walter's, a cozy hideaway with a porch overlooking Lake Sherwood. Now at last he would share this one special place with that one special person. For 2 days and two nights, the stillness remained unbroken. In the hours of light, they strolled the woods and fished for their supper. At night, they listened as the summer breezes rolled over the lake into the treetops. For 2 days and two nights, it was indeed a haven of dreams, a peaceful first step on a long, blissful journey. But then, the third night, in those eerie moments of pre-dawn dark, a sudden, violent knocking. Gracie came instantly awake, stared up into the gloom, and reached out for Walter. He was in bed beside her, still asleep. For a few seconds, there was nothing, only the wind outside. But then the knocking began again, more violently than before, and it was coming from directly above, from the bedroom ceiling. Frightened, Gracie shook Walter awake. Shortly, the two were sitting upright in bed. The sharp, repeated rapping continued, and Walter smiled. After breakfast, an investigation of the roof above the bedroom confirmed Walter's suspicion. A woodpecker. A little bird had made all of that racket. Walter and Gracie laughed about it, forgot about it, until the next night, before dawn's early light, when the woodpecker returned. Now Walter was upset. He stumbled out of bed. He opened the window. He called out. The woodpecker, unruffled by the harshness of Walter's voice, continued pecking. Perhaps a gunshot would frighten him off. But no, no, Gracie objected. If the bird were accidentally hurt, they would never forgive themselves. And so, day after day, a feathery, red-headed alarm clock roused the honeymooners from their slumber. And, of course, Gracie made friends with the little bird. Each morning she would answer the rapping by rapping back on the bedroom wall, and as she communicated with the bird, it became apparent that the bird had a personality all its own. 53 Augusts had passed since Gracie and Walter's not-so-peaceful honeymoon. For 53 years ago, a little bird came into their lives and changed everything. A brave, stubborn little creature who would not rest until he had been immortalized. You see, Walter was an artist. He had not planned on his wife joining him in that career. But when in August of 1941, Gracie suggested that their noisy visitor would make an excellent subject for a cartoon, Walter agreed, and later it was Gracie who made that character speak. Gracie and Walter have been working together ever since, until his death yesterday at the age of 93. The madcap cartoon character you know from Walter's talented pen and from Gracie's versatile voice lives on. Originally inspired by the obstreperous alarm clock, who happily haunted their honeymoon. In time, that animated character announced itself in 62 countries on television and 72 countries in theaters. But before Walter and Gracie Lentz left their honeymoon cabin 53 years ago, the not-yet celebrity already had a name. Woody. Woody Woodpecker. Now you know the rest of the story.
Protecting what matters on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. This hour's guest is Lance Cowart, CPA. He's with Versant Advisors. We're going to do a deep dive into the One Big Beautiful Bill, Act, Law, whatever the heck it's called these days, because one of the things, well, we'll talk about this, but I mean, most people have just been hearing about this for so long, but they're not seeing the impact of it. It's going to be coming soon to a theater near you, really. We're going to talk about how this is tax breaks for working Americans and retirees, along with mainly small business owners. And we also want to touch on the importance of making sure you have the correct business entity to take advantage of all these various different tax breaks under the One Big Beautiful Bill. So if you have questions or comments, this is a great, you know what, this is a great time. You got a CPA in studio here for you to call in or text in with questions. 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So Lance, give us a little bit of your background. I think you're a native of the area, or you've been here for quite some time,
well,
right?
I've been here since 97. So okay. I'm a Cal Poly, you know, accounting finance graduate, 1990, and moved away for about 7 years. Came back in 97. Been here in the area ever since.
And as far as were you in one of the Big Eight firms, or I guess there's not Big Eight anymore, or whatever, however many there are. But yeah, did you do that kind of duty?
Yeah,
and all
I did
that?
The whole Deloitte Touche Big Six back in 1990 through 92. I was an audit financial guy, and then I was a CPA in Fresno for a McGladrey and Pullen firm for about 3 years, doing both tax and audit.
Okay.
And then essentially went industry for a couple of years as a controller, and then ultimately moved to the coast and went back into public accounting in 97.
So, and you're doing primarily taxes, business for business owners primarily?
We do tax, we do audit, we do financial statements, reviews, and compliance work as well. We do lots of consulting, estate consulting, we do business accounting, payroll services, tax prep,
okay,
you name it.
That's
CFO
great.
Services.
So full service, really.
Yeah, full service firm.
That's great. And you have offices up in, all along the coast here, right?
We got offices here in Paso at 1111 Riverside,
okay,
right there by Cool Hand Luke's, little small satellite office. Then we got an office in San Luis Obispo on at 755 Santa Rosa. We got one up in Monterey as well.
Great. All right. So as we were talking, you know, before the break, before we went on air, so here's the context, and I want to set this up for the audience as well. Number one, I want to put this into the context of a lot of the discussion that's going on in the media anyway, about how one particular party, and I don't want this to be political, but one particular party is always, we need to tax the rich. Okay, and that they always characterize these tax bills, especially since Donald Trump's name is on them so heavily, as it's just a giveaway to the rich. And that's one of the things that I want to address as we talk through this stuff. And I also wanted, the other thing that's popped up, it's been popping up more and more, there are about six or seven states, including California, who are considering a wealth tax. Which would be really horrific,
right?
For and they call it a billionaire's tax.
Yeah.
But when they find out that they can't raise enough money doing it, then it'll become a millionaire's task.
That's right.
And that will be based on your assets. It's not based on your income.
That's
so
correct.
So I want to talk about that. And then in the first segment, I kind of put everything in that context, folks. And then also, as we talk about the big beautiful bill or the law now, we're going to do it in the first segment on a very high level. And then in the second segment, we'll go dig into some more of the details. So let's try to do it like that.
Sure.
So according to my, you know, I'm now using AI, which just as I can't believe I'm doing that. But according to an AI search that I did this morning, the IRS estimates show that 1%, the top 1% of taxpayers, so the very wealthy, pay 40 to 41% of the total federal income tax burden.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
The average elective federal tax rate for the 1% ranges from 25 to 31%.
Right.
You know, so when they say, well, billionaires aren't paying taxes, they are paying taxes.
They're paying significant taxes.
So anyway, and so in that context, what would you say, what are the top high-level bullet points of why the One Big Beautiful Bill is going to be so important, and how it's going to impact taxpayers, middle class taxpayers, as we move forward?
Well, you know, I think just thinking out loud about it, you know, essentially it builds upon, it expands upon the Trump tax law change of 2017, the Tax Cut Jobs Act, and the Tax Cut Jobs Act of 2017 that Trump signed into law, you know, essentially provided significant tax breaks for everybody across the wide range, you know, the spectrum of income, you know, everything from child tax credits to, you know, essentially lower rate brackets for, you know, an expansive list of, you know, essentially income categories that probably on average is about 4 to 5% lower across the board for everybody, mm-hmm. not just the wealthy. You know, so I mean, it, essentially, somebody that's making, you know, a two-income household that's making $200,000 a year essentially is paying tax at about 22% instead of 28%. So, I mean, it's for everybody. It's not just for the wealthy.
Right.
Yeah.
And from a percentage standpoint, a 1 or 2% drop for a middle-class person is more impactful, really, than for somebody who's got a lot.
Sure.
It's a higher
significantly,
end.
Yes.
Yeah. So again, I mean, we have to be mindful of, you know, what we're being told
yeah.
by the media.
Absolutely.
So, so what are the, again, the high level... So let's start. Since this is basically, in many regards, an extension of the 2017 Tax and Job Acts,
yeah.
what did that do? Did it lowered rates?
Like I said, it lowered tax rates right. across the whole gamut of you know, income categories. Mm-hmm. It essentially took anybody that's not able to itemize, one, because either they don't own a home
mm-hmm.
or they just don't have enough, you know, itemized deductions to basically take an itemized deduction. It expanded the standard deduction increase mm-hmm. from, you know, $6,000 for an individual to $12,000. So it doubled the standard deduction. When you talk about married couple, you know, it expanded it from about 12 to 24.
Uh-huh.
Now that number's all the way up to $31,000, $32,000
wow. okay.
for a married filing joint.
Okay.
And so it competitively, you know, essentially put somebody gives somebody the ability to basically almost take as many deductions as somebody itemizing.
Right. And it also, for small business owners, particularly the pass-through type entities,
yeah.
the Tax Cut and Job Acts, was a 20% or something that it kind of cut our tax burden, correct?
Absolutely. So what it did provide was a qualified business income deduction,
mm-hmm.
you know, and essentially it provides a 20% haircut off the top mm-hmm. line, off your mm-hmm. gross income for anybody that has income, you know, whether it's pass-through income through an S-corp or a partnership or even a sole proprietorship. I mean, it applies to a significant amount of businesses. It has some limitations, but it gives people the ability to take a 20% haircut off their income.
Yeah, so that was a big deal for working people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it was aimed at lower income folks, not high income folks, because it has essentially limitations in how much money you can make.
Okay. So then now the one big beautiful bill or law, mm-hmm. it's continued everything from the 2017 law, mm-hmm. but then it's also added some new worker friendly deductions.
Again,
high level, what would those be?
High level, some of those worker friendly deductions kind of focuses on, you know, essentially not just focuses on the hospitality and restaurant industry. They have a tip deduction for folks, but they also have an overtime deduction, which applies to a whole host of industries. Anybody working overtime
yeah.
in seasonal type of fields essentially have the ability to take a deduction from gross income and not pay tax on 100% of their income.
Really?
Yeah.
That's huge.
Absolutely. You bet.
Is that include, like, you know, first responders and all those types of people?
It applies to most folks that's making any kind of overtime.
Okay.
It's 100% across the board overtime pay.
And on the no tax for tips, is there like a limit of how much they can get paid on tax with tips without having to pay taxes on
it? Yeah, there's limits on both, essentially. There's limits on how much income you can make.
Okay, great. And then there were some additions for families as well, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So that was, again, they expounded upon the Tax Cut Jobs Act of 2017. Mm-hmm. You know, essentially prior to 2017, the child tax credit was about $500 it was $500 per child. The Tax Cut Jobs Act increased it to $2,000,
mm-hmm.
and now it's just expanded upon that. It increased it, inflation-adjusted that tip.
Yeah.
So basically, all of these provisions were sunsetting at the end of 24, and this new One Big Beautiful Bill Act implemented them again.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so those were the big winners under the One Big Beautiful Bill, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and anything else there before we move on to the moderate winners?
Well, I think, you know, essentially some of the things I didn't talk about with business.
Okay.
You know, essentially, you know, the one of the things that was available for business was the ability to write off your investments in equipment, mm-hmm. furniture, fixtures, any kind of capital equipment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had the ability to, from the Tax Cut Jobs Act, you had the ability to take $1 million 179 deduction on the federal level. That now has been extended or expanded to $2.5 million investment.
Really?
And not only that, I mean, if you have a small manufacturing facility, even the building you can write off up to $2.5 million.
That's a big deal.
That's a huge deal.
And a one-shot deal.
One-shot deal.
But you have to be careful of that too. I mean, it can cut both ways, right?
You know, essentially what happens is the 179 deduction is limited to your income in the business. So you got to, you know, if you're writing off $2.5 million, you're making good money.
Yeah, you are.
I wouldn't necessarily say that that's by our standards small business, mm-hmm. but that is by standards of the definition of small business. Mm-hmm. That is a small business mm-hmm. still.
Right.
Anybody that makes under $30 million a year is considered a small business.
So what this really does is it encourages businesses to invest and expand and grow.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay. Yeah. Anything else that you didn't mention on that one?
You know, essentially, there's other issues that are favorable. I don't want to get too technical, but small businesses were limited to being able to deduct mortgage or any kind of interest on mm-hmm. any loans. To the extent that they had income, and they were limited to be able to deduct interest at 30% of income.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this new Big Beautiful Bill Act adds some things that you can add to the threshold of what you define as income, such as you add back your depreciation, and depletion and amortization. So it's a larger threshold that gives you the ability to borrow more, deduct more interest for your small business.
And wasn't there a tax break now for individuals where what's the word I'm looking for? They can deduct the interest on their car payments?
Absolutely.
And which they couldn't do before.
That's correct. That's a one-time deal. And again, that's an above-line deduction.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you don't have to be an itemizer.
Okay.
You can take the standard deduction, still write off the interest.
Okay, great. Okay, so now, real high income earners, and I'm not exactly sure, I'm looking at our notes here. I'm not sure how that's defined here, but so obviously they've avoided the 2026 tax hike. So that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. But now I think a big thing for many of us, especially here in California, is the increase in the salt limits, the mm-hmm. state and local taxes.
Tax.
So we'll unpack that on the other side of the break, because this is really important.
Yep.
But that should make us all big winners next month when we have to pay our property taxes.
Absolutely.
Many of us.
I think essentially too, one thing that I will take out of this is that, people might start itemizing again that were previously taking mm-hmm. a standard deduction.
Right.
So, you know, that's a huge deal, and we'll get into some of the specifics on that, but that's a big winner for California.
Okay. And then Social Security recipients, I believe it's below, $75,000?
Just to correct you there, it's not just Social Security recipients. It's anybody that's 65 or older.
Okay.
So, to kind of give you a history on that, prior to the Tax Cut Jobs Act,
mm-hmm.
elderly people got a personal exemption that went over and above the standard deduction. They got an additional exemption amount.
Okay.
We all got exemptions. They got an additional exemption. That was all done away with. So essentially what the Tax Cut Jobs Act did was essentially give them an expanded standard deduction amount.
Okay.
But it didn't give them their personal exemptions anymore. Now with
explain the difference between those two, an exemption and credit.
So an exemption was just an additional deduction from your taxable income before you hit the threshold of calculating tax
on the taxable income. Okay.
So the standard deduction or the itemized deductions were one line item on the return. The exemptions was an additional amount.
Mm-hmm.
So prior to the One Big Beautiful Bill, elderly folks over 65 or older, got an additional $2,400 if they were married filing joint, or $1,200 if they were single,
mm-hmm.
over and above their standard deduction amount or over and above their itemized deductions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. With the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, there's a significantly larger deduction that they get.
Okay.
So how does that relate to Social Security? It's essentially added the amount of folks from 64% who don't pay tax on their Social Security income across the U.S. to about 88%.
Wow,
so
that's
huge.
So
it increased
huge.
About a 24% threshold of the amount of elderly people collecting Social Security that won't pay a dollar in tax on their Social Security.
That's really great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're going to we'll talk about that again because I think that's really worth looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And then this doesn't bother me at all. The taxpayers, the potential losers of the big OBB is taxpayers relying on green energy credits. Those are all going away, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, hence Elon Musk Trump fight.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, I kind of like Elon, but you know, at some point and again, let's be clear. We have a lot of local businesses who've done pretty well with all of these tax credits.
Absolutely.
I mean, I was able to get a grant for Tesla power walls at my ranch because I'm on a wall. I have a well.
Awesome.
That was great.
Yeah.
But still, somebody's paying for that, folks.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, it's and again, as we're finding, the whole green energy thing was kind of a scam anyway. So
absolutely.
So anyway, anybody else who's going to be a potential loser under the bill?
Well, as you get higher income, you know, essentially, we're going to talk about it later, mm-hmm. but, you know, even the in the tips field, the overtime field, if you're making over certain limits of income,
mm-hmm.
those credits, those deductions phase out for you.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the big losers,
yeah.
you know, essentially, you know, even the folks collecting, you know, essentially, folks, people getting certain credits over a certain amount, that some of those credits are going to phase out for them.
Good.
We'll talk about that specifically.
So ultimately, we got like a minute left, so I want to roll to something else real quickly, and then
sure.
we'll come back to the details
okay.
again, folks, because I really want everybody, the listeners, to understand that there's a lot in this for you.
Absolutely.
As you start, because I'm already starting to plan out my taxes for 2025.
Yeah.
But going back to this wealth tax
mm-hmm.
stuff,
yep.
So I'm looking at something I looked up this morning. There are about six or seven states, California being one of them, that is majorly looking at initiatives to create a wealth tax.
Yeah.
And California, this would be a one-time tax. You know, I can hear the bumper music, and would propose a 5% tax on anybody who's a billionaire. And we know what happens when that people leave. They're
Absolutely.
Just going to leave.
Yeah.
So,
you know, essentially there's all kinds of ways that people have, you know, essentially with that kind of money, they have the wherewithal and the ability to create a second residence.
Right.
Relocate to the second residence. Spend more than 6 months out of the year at the second
yep.
residence. And I've seen it happen time and time yeah. again throughout my years.
Well, historically it happens. Okay. So, folks, we will be back on the other side of the break and continue with the One Big Beautiful Bill.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Tom Graham. The House overwhelmingly voting to force the release of the Jeffrey Epstein files. The final tally, 427-1. President Trump says he's on board with the effort.
I have nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein. I threw him out of my club many years ago because I thought he was a sick pervert.
The Senate will still need to take up and pass the resolutions as questions swirl about the late sex offender's political connections. An agreement to settle thousands of opioid-related lawsuits is approved.
A federal bankruptcy judge signs off on the settlement between plaintiffs and OxyContin maker Purdue Pharma. The company's owners, the Sackler family, will pay $7 billion over 15 years, mostly to state, local, and native governments who've had to deal with the opioid addiction crisis. $850 million goes to affected individuals. They'll get around $8,000 or $16,000, depending on their situation and how many people qualify to be distributed next year.
Fox's Chris Foster, America's listening to Fox News.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online. DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
Welcome. Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Lance Cowart, CPA from Versant Advisors. We're talking about one big beautiful bill and just taxes in general, and all the many of the benefits that you're going to be seeing here. Call in or text with questions, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. Just one more. We were talking about this proposed wealth tax, and I'm bringing this up because, unfortunately, what was it, last week, the state of California passed this ridiculous redistricting thing, and unfortunately, the Republicans didn't get out. In my opinion, they didn't get out to vote against this, and now we've got this situation where we're basically being disenfranchised in every part of the state, and this will be a ballot initiative. This wealth tax will be a ballot initiative, and unless we are able to fend this off. We're going to have some of the most productive people who spend money in the state leave.
That's right.
I mean, like Elon Musk is an example.
Absolutely.
Whatever you think of him, he's pulled billions of dollars of revenue out of the state by going to Texas and other places. So we have to be more activated and inform voters on every aspect, even if we're not the wealthy.
Right.
So anyway, that's my editorial for the rest of the day, I hope. Anyway, so let's circle back to this stuff now, and I want to hit these big items again. So according to I asked my AI guru how many people will benefit from no tax on tips, and it's quite a few here. I'm trying to see if I can see a percentage, but it looks like 97 million workers will benefit, according to this search that I did. So tell our listeners again, so if you're in the service business, and again, this is on overtime, so no tax and tips on overtime and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us how that's going to work and what are the limits that people need to be mindful of.
Okay, so yeah, specifically with the no tax on tips, essentially it's an above-line deduction. So in other words, it's not part of your itemized deduction. So if you take a standard deduction, mm-hmm. you still have the ability to exclude this amount from your income. So with respect to the tips, essentially we're looking at up to $25,000 that an individual can exclude from their income,
mm-hmm.
in tip income.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, there is a limit on that. Anybody making over $150,000 cannot take this $25,000 deduction.
Okay.
So it's kind of a cliff. You're either over 150 or you're under. So there's some planning there, maybe. I made a bunch of money on tips this year. Let's defer that bonus, or let's defer that salary into next year because it's going to put me over the 150 limit.
Right.
So there are some things that essentially tip earners can do to meet with a CPA to look at, hey, how do I get that $25,000 mm-hmm. deduction? How do I max that out?
Well, and really with so many folks, especially younger folks who are in the gig economy,
yep.
they might be working a regular job during the day and then waiting tables and making tips at night.
That's right.
A big winner for them, right?
That's a big winner for them. Essentially, my daughter even, mm-hmm. There's people that work two income jobs. Like you said, they're bartenders at night. They work a day job just to get by. There's a lot mm-hmm. of people here on the Central Coast that do that. So there's a lot of two income families that rely on tips. Mind you, this $25,000 is per individual. So if you're a two income family and you're both kind of working in the heavy tip industry, mm-hmm. you can exclude up to $50,000.
Yeah.
If you're married filing joint.
In your experience, I mean, these types of workers, what tax rate are they generally paying?
They're generally below the $150,000 limit. I don't know too many bartenders that make over 150 grand a year, but there could be some out there for some high end places here on the Central Coast.
And a big part of this is going to be, is it important for those workers to account for this somehow in an organized fashion?
Absolutely. If you're in certain industries, it's accounted, but your employer will account for it. Mm-hmm. It's on your W-2, your overtime and your tip income. But some folks are self-employed and rely mm-hmm. on tips, whether it's, this covers 68 different job descriptions. So,
wow.
I mean, it's a wealth of different jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of independent contractors out there that work on a flat rate basis or an hourly basis, but they also get tips.
Mm-hmm.
And this applies to them. They need to keep track of those tips, and they need to provide substantiation as to what a tip is versus what their flat rate is
for
their jobs.
Has anybody developed an app for this for people to use?
Not that I'm aware of. I'm sure somebody's all over it, though.
Yeah. And is there any special burden on employers to have to account for this differently than they're doing now?
Most employers account for tips that are in the tip industry.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, the whole tip industry is kind of a black market out there still in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
This might incentivize folks to actually bring their tips in mm-hmm. and account for them. Most employers understand how to... there's credits for tips.
Mm-hmm.
And so employers understand the accounting involved in accounting for tips and overtime for sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
The overtime issue, we didn't talk about that.
Okay, yeah,
I want to talk about that because that's separate from tips.
Okay.
Because overtime covers every industry.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, if you're an individual, you have the ability to exclude $12,500 of your overtime pay from being, included in your taxable income. Again, it's above line to... deduction. It's not part of your itemized deductions. There's going to be a place on the tax return mm-hmm. for you to deduct that overtime pay. And it's the overtime portion only. So in other words, if I work an 8-hour day and then I work another hour, I get paid time and a half.
Right.
I don't get paid for that. I only get to report the half, mm-hmm. Of the half time. In other words, if I make $10 an hour and then on hour number 9 I make $15 an hour,
I don't get
to take the entire 15 as overtime.
Right.
It's $5 of overtime, what's actually considered the extra pay. Okay, so that's part of it. And then for married filing joint, that's up to $25,000 you can exclude from overtime.
Mm.
So if your wife works overtime a lot and you guys are married filing jointly and you make $300,000 or less, you can exclude up to $25,000 from overtime
pay. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
And again, I'm looking at this. There's almost 100 million workers who will benefit from this tax deduction.
Yeah.
That's like a third of the population.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a big deal.
That's a big deal.
So again, I'm thinking that workers who get paid overtime in particular really need to keep track of their pay stubs and the reporting
Absolutely.
From their employer so that
yep.
they have this ready to go for however they file their taxes.
Yeah. Again, most employers track overtime
okay.
and break it out on your pay stubs. If they don't, they're going to probably be doing it fairly soon.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the IRS is just instructing people to take the deduction on your tax return. There may be some ways here in 2026 as they kind of get their arms around a little more as far as reporting wise to where, essentially it might actually be excluded from your W-2
mm-hmm.
where there might be some kind of breakout of that overtime if you qualify.
Yeah. Are you seeing that employers are ready for all this reporting yet, or they haven't even started to focus on it?
I think most of them are still trying to get guidance from the IRS.
Yeah.
And as is usual with most of this stuff, these laws get passed, and then it takes time for the IRS to actually catch up mm-hmm. with the process and the standardized forms
mm-hmm.
and everything else. And some of it may be just kind of a makeshift thing for 2025. 2026, they'll probably have it dialed in by then.
And I take it this only accounts for the federal tax. It doesn't apply to the state tax. It
doesn't apply to California, that's for sure.
So folks, in my listening audience, remember that. It doesn't apply to the state tax, so your vote is important in
Absolutely.
The state.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's shift gears now to the increased standard deduction. According to my research, it looks like this is going to help almost 91% of American taxpayers.
That's right.
Again, so that's a BFD as well, right?
Yeah.
So tell us a little, again, let's get into the details, the mm-hmm. key details of this.
Okay, so again, prior to 2017, or the 2017 Tax Act, which was implemented in 2018, essentially the standard deduction was only $6,000 and $12,000 for married filing joints, $6,000 for individuals.
Mm-hmm.
That increased it to about $12,000 and $24,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're all the way up to, almost $16,000 and $32,000 at this point
yeah.
in time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a big deal. And this new One Big Beautiful Bill Act actually increases it another $1,200 per individual, so another 8%, on top of that. So it basically gives you close to $32,000 and inching upwards in standard deduction.
Right.
Yeah.
And now, again, this does not apply to the state tax, though, right?
It does not apply to state tax,
okay.
no. Essentially, the state tax has their own calculations as far as what mm-hmm. they allow for standard deductions mm-hmm. or a certain percentage of your itemized deductions, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
And so the state is totally different, doesn't conform to that.
Yeah, but it'll still be a sizable savings on still your federal.
Still will be a sizable. And that applies to everybody. And mm-hmm. like you said, you're right, 90% of income tax filers take a standard deduction. You know, that's about 138 to 140 million households.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. And then there's an expanded child tax credit as well that's inflation adjusted. So let's explain what's that going to do for people.
Okay, so that, you know, essentially the tax credit, and that applies to everybody at all income levels, mm-hmm. you know, essentially. If you have a child under the age of 17, mm-hmm. you get a $2,000 tax credit. That is now increased to $2,200.
Okay.
Now, back in 2017, that tax credit was only $500.
Okay.
So with the Trump tax change in 17, it went to $2,000. Now we're going up to $2,200.
Okay. And there's, according to my research, there's 58 million children in the United States and are estimated to benefit in some way from this expanded credit.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
And again, this is whether you itemize or otherwise, right?
That's correct. Whether you itemize or you take a standard deduction. There's also, in addition to that, whether the child is 17 or older, or whether it's a grandma or a brother living with you that's considered a dependent that relies entirely on your support, you can get a $500 credit as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's shift gears here to the car loan interest deduction.
Okay.
They're really up until the OBBB. There was no tax deduction for it,
no
just
ability.
An individual. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, unless you owned a vehicle that's used in your business.
Mm-hmm.
For personal purposes, there was no ability to ever deduct car loan interest.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, essentially with the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, we have the ability to deduct up to $10,000 in interest on car loans. That's mm-hmm. a pretty hefty purchase price.
Mm-hmm.
It applies to new vehicles only, and it applies to vehicles final assembled in the U.S. only.
So if you're at the 15% tax bracket, you're saving $1,500.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, essentially, so you're saving
15% of.
You're carving out a $10,000 deduction.
Oh, it's a deduction.
From
okay.
your taxable
right.
income.
Right. So it's just bringing your rate down.
That's
Got
correct.
It. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And this, according to what I'm seeing, is this should. Let me see. It's my search said it'll benefit millions of people, but there are some limits here. You know, on income as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, it phases out if you're an individual and you file individually and you make over $100,000. If you make over $200,000 and you file joint, it phases out.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't know how many people are going to be writing off $10,000 in interest on a car loan. That's, you know, probably going to be about a $150,000 vehicle. And if you're making $100,000 a year, you probably shouldn't be buying that in the first place. But, you know, it gives you the ability to write it off. You know, and essentially, some of the other conformities is the auto finance companies are now going to be required to issue 1098s for any interest mm-hmm. paid over $600 a year.
Right.
So, you know, essentially there's going to be some reporting requirements there. This only applies to cars and SUVs and highway use or road use vehicles. It doesn't apply to trailers or motorhomes or, you know, essentially anything like that, off-road type vehicles. So you can't buy your toys mm-hmm. and write off the mortgage interest, but mm-hmm. you can certainly buy your trucks and your cars and your SUVs.
Okay, great. Yeah. Great. And it's got to be American-built cars, correct?
It's got to be a final assembled in the U.S., which, you know, essentially, if you look up the data, 10 of the top-selling, or 7 out of 10 of the top-selling models
mm-hmm.
are final assembled in the U.S. So
okay.
that's a pretty vast group of vehicles that you can look at and get that interest deduction.
And it'll be good for our domestic car manufacturers.
And the VIN numbers will identify whether they're available.
Really?
Under this mortgage interest deduction.
All right. So finally, and again, not finally really, but we're almost running out of time in this segment, okay. But this is great stuff. But don't rush. This is a big one for me, the state and local taxes.
Yeah.
And according to, you know, my search here, the primary beneficiaries are middle and upper middle income households, okay, in states with high property and income taxes like New York, California, New Jersey, Connecticut, and Illinois. All the same ones that are looking at wealth taxes, of course.
Yeah.
So tell us how that's going to work now.
So, you know, again, the state and local tax limit was $10,000, you know, at the federal level that you could deduct on your item, mm-hmm. on your Schedule A itemizing. You know, I mean, we pay, what, at least $6,000 in property tax if you buy a $600,000 house here on the Central Coast.
At least.
You know, you're paying $6,000, so what does that leave you? Only $4,000 to deduct in state taxes. Mm-hmm. You most likely have significantly more in state taxes as well as DMV taxes. Everything else, you know, essentially. So that $10,000 limit limited people from actually, some of them, from itemizing. Because if, let's say, you pay $20,000 in mortgage interest, you only get a $10,000 state and local tax deduction. That gets you to $30,000. You got to get over a certain limit to be able to deduct your medical expenses. If you're not into charitable giving, you're below the standard deduction limit. So you're just taking a standard deduction. What this does is it gives you the ability to itemize again and take a much larger.
So that the cumulative value of all of these deductions will potentially allow more people to itemize and save even more money.
Absolutely. I think probably it's going to shift about 15 to 20 million
really
filers into the itemized deduction category again between California, New York, and some of these other states.
Okay. And again, as small business owners, we've already talked about this, they get lower tax brackets remain and they get their 20% pass-through deductions made permanent. And of course, you mentioned the big deduction for equipment and buildings and all that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which is a big deal, correct?
Yes. Yep, so, absolutely.
All right. So this, we've got about 3 minutes left in the segment. So this is the perfect time, because this is one of my pet peeves, because as you know, I do business valuation. Yep. And I'm always amazed at how few people have taken advantage of becoming a pass-through entity. Or you know, and so my first question is, you know, why do so many small business owners resist forming a pass-through entity?
You know, I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, just one, lack of knowledge of the tax benefits.
Mm-hmm.
It requires, you know, organization skills. It requires administration cost. It requires you to actually pay somebody to incorporate your business. You know, whether it's an LLC, whether it's a general partnership, limited partnership, or a C corp, you got to pay somebody to file those corporate docs with the state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, essentially, you know, there's minimum fees you pay the state of California. They always want their $800. You know, so there's things there. You got to file a tax return. You got to open a separate bank account, separate from your personal bank account. Mm-hmm. All of those are onerous things that people, you know, often just don't want to deal with the headache.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there a certain revenue a point where a business should, you know, say, okay, I'm making X, we're rolling this much revenue through the business. This is now, it's time for us to do this.
You know, I've got thresholds for folks. You know, if you're making over $100,000 and you're an you're a sole proprietor,
mm-hmm.
and you know, essentially you make money off of products or you make money off of services, but not entirely always your services, mm-hmm. it might make sense to form an S corp because you save self-employment taxes. S corp income is not considered self-employment income.
Right.
But if I'm like a, you know, I'm a doctor, or I'm, let's just say I'm an attorney or insurance guy, and I got a little sole proprietorship business I haven't incorporated, and I'm making $200,000 or $300,000 a year, I'm paying 15.3% self-employment tax,
mm-hmm.
you know, into the system, and that's not even my income tax.
Right.
And so, you know, it's a significant advantage to incorporate, form an S corp,
right.
Pay yourself a modest salary, but the rest of that income's not self-employment taxed.
Right. Any other advantages that you can point to for the pass-throughs?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously having a limited liability company or an S corp, you know, which are pass-through entities, gives you the ability to pay tax at your individual tax rate level. There's no double level, no double taxation of tax.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas C corporations, you pay tax at the entity level, and then you pay tax again when it makes a dividend out to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you pay two levels of tax. The S corp or the LLC is still the way to go if you're a small business owner. And you know, the other advantage is essentially this pass-through entity tax credit that you still get for the state of California,
mm-hmm.
which isn't going away even with the increase in the state and local tax limit deduction. If you're a high-income individual and you make over $600,000, that state and local tax deduction of $40,000 phases out for
mm-hmm.
you. So if you're in that category, you form right. a pass-through entity, you get the pass-through entity tax mm-hmm. credit. It pays the tax for you, and it gets to deduct it from federal taxable income.
That's a good another good thing.
And you still get credit for those taxes paid to the state of California.
Again, I mean, there's so many ways now people can really take advantage of these tax breaks. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
All right, folks, when we return, we'll wrap this up with Lance and get his final thoughts on what you should be doing, planning to do for 2025, of taxes. So stand by.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages continuing to sell off, with the Dow falling sharply for a fourth straight session as investors worry about an AI bubble and a broader economic downturn. Investors are eagerly awaiting two key tests of those concerns: NVIDIA's earnings report after the closing bell on Wednesday, and the shutdown-delayed September jobs report Thursday morning. Shares of NVIDIA fell over 2% today. Tech was the worst performer among the S&P 500 sectors, while healthcare gained, and shares of Dow member Home Depot tumbling 5% after the home improvement retailer reported weaker than expected third quarter earnings and revenue. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, Travelers, and Merck. The Dow decliners, Home Depot, Microsoft, and Amazon. The Dow falling 499 points, the Nasdaq lower by 275, S&P 500 down 55. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
There's no championship league for small business owners, but if there was, you'd be at the top of the standings. Because going pro with Lenovo Pro means you've got the winning formation, one-on-one advice, IT solutions, and customized hardware powered by Intel Core Ultra processors help you stay ahead of the competition. Business goes pro with Lenovo Pro. Sign up for free at Lenovo.com/pro. Lenovo.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
At Peak Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Lance Cowart, CPA of Versant Advisors. You can call in and text with questions, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. Next week's show, I'm going to have my old friend. She's been on the show before. Her name is Wendy DeRoven, and she lives in the East Bank of Jerusalem. And she moved there 15 years ago with her family. She's been on to talk about, since October 7th, talk about what's been going on in Israel. And so she's going to give us a report on the latest. And I'm also very interested in getting her take on what Israelis are saying about the rise of anti-Semitism in the United States and how that's playing out in Israel. And then on the hour segment, we're going to have Edward Ring from the California Policy Center. And he's going to be talking about energy and water. And we've got all kinds of problems with that as well here in California. Not enough energy. And again, I just want to mention the San Luis Obispo County Lincoln Club dinner, Christmas dinner, is on December 4th. You can still get tickets, 805-235-1003. That's Kristen Handley. She's running the show for us. And you can call or text her, and I'm sure she will be happy to give you some more information and get you registered for that. It's a really fun event at the Medina Inn. So we actually did have a text question that's not completely about taxes, but Lance wants to speak to this. I have an angry listener who texted in, how can you be against California Proposition 50 when you support the same thing in Texas? And my response was, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. And why isn't it the same thing, Lance?
Well, it's not the same thing. I mean, one of the things, I mean, Texas is Republican. It's a Republican-controlled state, not as much as it used to be, but it's still significant Republican. And, you know, essentially, Texas didn't have a law in place that had already made it illegal for legislators to just arbitrarily change districting based upon their whims. Texas didn't have a law in place. So, you know, essentially what they did was they took some of these special districts based on racial districting, and they basically said, you know what, we're gonna change our districting to be more representative of where our Republican versus Democrat representation should be. Yeah, they gerrymandered the state. You know, essentially they got it down to about, you know, 33% Democrat, 66% Republican. But, you know, it's nothing like California, where California was essentially in the 2024 election about 62% Democrat and about 38% Republican. We're down to less than 10% representation under this new Prop 50 law, which, by the way, back several years ago, the citizens of California voted to have an independent districting commission. You know, that's been in place. That's been the law. And, you know, essentially Gavin Newsom took it upon himself to essentially change that law by arbitrarily throwing this $200 million, almost $300 million cost into our to have this Prop 50 vote. And now arbitrarily just legislators in Sacramento can, you know, redistrict our state to where we're down to about 4 Republican representatives, you know, which is less than 10%. It's about 5%.
Yeah.
You know, so it's significantly gerrymandered. You know, where that hurts our people over in the San Joaquin Valley, the farmers, some of those districts where they were significant Republican, where, you know, we're going growing crops and, you know, shipping crops all over the world. You know, the water issues are so significant. We've got a lot of issues in the state that, you know, are prosperous for the state. You know, we've got a lot of products we put out. We're one of the biggest farming in the world, you know, our state alone, and it's going to hurt those farming districts. So, you know, this whole California vote on Prop 50 is just prompting other states that are heavily Republican to gerrymander their states. So I don't think it benefited Newsom one bit. I think it's going to end up hurting them in the long run.
Yeah, I think you're right. No, I'm sorry. My listener there is not happy, but that's okay. All right. Finally, let's wrap this up.
Sure.
But thank you for that explanation.
Absolutely.
Because you clearly are tuned into the issue. Who should be considering using the services of an enrolled agent or a CPA, and what are the differences?
Well,
so people
I mean,
know?
You know, a CPA covers a vastly larger plethora of services in the financial arena. You know, and, you know, an enrolled agent specializes only in tax.
Mm-hmm.
You know, essentially a CPA's passed a CPA exam, enrolled agents pass an enrolled mm-hmm. agent exam that focuses only on taxation. So, I mean, an enrolled agent is a good person to consult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a CPA that does taxes is an excellent person to consult. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the type of people, I mean, with the changes in these tax laws, it's good for a whole spectrum of people. I mean, if you're making tip income,
mm-hmm.
if you're a high-income individual, high wage earner who itemizes deductions, you should be consulting a CPA or an enrolled right. agent. You know, folks with partnerships or investments in partnerships, folks with significant investment portfolios mm-hmm. should be consulting a CPA or an EA.
Mm-hmm.
Small business owners, sole proprietors, pass-through entity owners, S-Corp LLCs, partnership owners, they should have a CPA doing their planning for them as well as their tax work after the fact, after the season is over or after the year is over. People working in the hospitality, restaurant, cosmetic, beauty businesses, they're all making tip income. They need some consulting there. You know, I talked earlier about, hey, maybe I'm going to be over the $150,000 threshold and I'm an individual filer. I want to basically scale that down so I can take advantage of the $25,000 exclusion. That's pre-planning. You know, see me in November, not in April.
It's 2025 planning is starting today for me, for sure.
That's right.
Lance, how's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
They can contact me at 805-781-0688. We're at 755 Santa Rosa Street, Suite 200 in San Luis Obispo. We're also at 1111 Riverside here in Paso Robles by Cool Hand Luke's. Or you can email us at taxinfo@versantadvisorsinc.com.
All right. Lance, thanks for being here. We'll have you back.
Join us next Tuesday to Protect What Matters the Most with Barry Fisher. Send your questions and show topic ideas to barry@blazinbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.